This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guarantees to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
Chicago winters can be brutal. Snow, ice, freezing temps. If you're thinking, driving in this weather, I need a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to handle winter like a pro. Don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Winter roads demand a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan and always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 8:30 here on this abbreviated Monday night edition of Overtime. A lot to get to. Excuse me, Tuesday night edition of Overtime. We were on yesterday. It was President's Day. Got the chance to sit in for Grant and Danny. Always a fun time doing that. We had some big-time news break yesterday during the show. Bengals expected to franchise tag wide receiver T. Higgins. We'll discuss that as we roll throughout the show here this afternoon. Real quickly, before we move on, after that news broke yesterday on the show, I am hearing and listening to national media, local radio, and it feels like everyone nationally. And maybe I was missing the boat on this. Everyone nationally seems to go, oh, yeah, no surprise that the Bengals are tagging T. Higgins. And I sat here yesterday, and I went back and forth as to how much sense it actually made and whether or not T. would sign the franchise tag based on his mom's tweet. Doesn't seem like he's too thrilled with getting the franchise tag. We will discuss T. Higgins and other wide receiver options for the Commanders throughout the rest of the show and throughout the rest of the offseason. A lot going on around the Beltway. Hokies basketball coming up following myself. The Nats had their first official full squad workout of the spring. And Vic, maybe you can answer this. I'm not sure if this is common practice, but I love what I saw. Saw Ryan Zimmerman out there today. I saw the schedule set to be released. Ian Desmond going to be out in Florida next week. Tyler Clippard, Denard Spann, Danny Espinosa. They're bringing all the old pups back. And I don't know if that's something that normally happens, or does this have anything to do with like the 20th anniversary?
It's the 20th anniversary.
Because it is the 20th anniversary. So this isn't like commonplace amongst Major League Baseball. It's curious, though. Curious to see, how this group ends up faring throughout the duration of the regular season. The youngins, another year older, we'll get to see a full year of James Wood in the majors. We'll get to see a full year of Dylan Cruz in the majors. I know me and Danny Ruhier laugh about this pretty regularly. He always has just top-of-the-nose jokes, tip-of-the-tongue jokes about this. They didn't spend a ton of money this offseason. And the more and more I listen to others have discussions about this, the more and more I think about this, not totally surprising based on the track record of this group. I didn't send the quote to myself. I don't know if any of you all got the chance to hear this earlier today. I thought Mark Lerner had some very interesting comments in terms of why the Nats didn't go out and spend money on a quote-unquote $100 million player, why they weren't in on a guy like a Pete Alonso or things of that nature. And this is the quote from Mark Lerner. He says, quote, "When Mike calls me in and says we really need to think about it for next winter, we'll talk about it. Right now, he doesn't think, and I agree with him, there's no point in getting a superstar and paying him hundreds of millions of dollars to win two or three more games. You've got to wait until, like Jason Worth, Jason was right on the cusp of, you know, Jason was signed, rather, right on the cusp of the team being good, and it took us to the next level. That's the ideal situation. It's always on our mind." And when I read this quote, two ways to look at it. One, I think whether we want to agree with it or not, it probably wasn't the right move this offseason to go out and spend big with a big bet. I think the example that Mark Lerner used was completely wrong. What you needed to do was add a legitimate ace to this staff. That, to me, is what the Nats need. And obviously, hitting the ball was a major issue for them last year, last in the National League in terms of home runs. But I took the quote, and there's so many different ways I feel like you could look at it. If you were to add a big bat this offseason, if you did add a legitimate ace to your staff, would it really only be worth two or three more wins? See, that's where I get annoyed when going out and reading the quote, because it's like, okay, it's almost as if it's basically a cop-out and an excuse as to why you are not willing to spend money. I think most folks, when you consider the state that the Nats farm system is in, when you consider all the high-quality young prospects that they have, I can hear both sides of the argument. Maybe it isn't time for you to go out and spend big, but I also think if you did go out and spend big, you'd be a hell of a lot more competitive than you've been the past couple of years, and I think that is the issue, that is the point that folks make when they complain about this organization consistently having one of the lowest payrolls in the majors. So, like I said, not totally surprising based on the track record, but I do love some of the moves they made, right? Going out, trading for Nathaniel Lowe improves your defense. You're adding one of the best first basemen in Major League Baseball. You get another proven bat into your lineup. And that's the other key for this thing. I mentioned, they were last in the National League last year in homers. Bringing back Josh Bell in your lineup gives you some juice. Adding him along with Nathaniel Lowe, 3, 4, 5 in your lineup may potentially light the scoreboard up. Who knows how this thing ultimately plays out. But obviously, we're all continuing to be, you know, captivated by the growth and development of the young pups. That's really what this is about. You're still probably a year or two away from being competitive for a National League wild card spot or for competing to win the NL East. So I think the quote, and I flip-flopped on this all day, the quote when I initially read it kind of felt like just a rich guy being a smart aleck, but you understand that, like, hey, he's kind of got a point, but then when you use the example of it's only worth two or three more wins, I don't really buy that. I don't really buy that. Like I said, though, I love the addition of Nathaniel Lowe, improving your defense, get another proven bat, and then your offense. That to me is what spring training is for here, to see how much your young pups have grown from both your pitching staff and at the plate. Defense, I know, was a big issue for this group last year. But then, and I know he's got a little bit of a quad injury right now that's limiting him defensively, but that's not what we care about with this young man. I'm excited to see James Wood at the plate for an entire regular season, because he showed some real elite flashes of power last year albeit, you know, had some of the rough patches against the lefties. But what does a full year at the plate look like for him? What does a full year in the majors look like for Dylan Cruz? Right? We saw C.J. Abrams take a huge jump last year at the plate. Obviously, it was at the expense of his defense. And obviously, that was a big talking point throughout the season. But, like, that's what excites me about this group. That's what should have Nats fans excited about this group. If James Wood can take a major jump, 3, 4, 5 in your order, like I said, could potentially light up the scoreboard. It was huge bringing in Nathaniel Lowe. It was the word I'm looking for here? It was a shrewd move bringing back Josh Bell. So we'll see ultimately what happens with that group. But, you know, that's the question here. Can your young guns give you the run support that you need? The other big question I think facing this group is with the pitching staff. Can you find consistency? We saw last year down the stretch, Jake Irvin really, really struggled. And I know that's been a talking point amongst Nats fans, who was going to be the opening day starter. I believe it was it yesterday? Davey came out and said it was going to be Mackenzie Gore, but then today he retracted that statement. So we don't know who ultimately gets the start Saturday in their first Grapefruit League game. But, like, that's the other question with this group, is the staff. Can you get consistency? Because I thought at times, right, Mackenzie Gore was awesome. At times, Jake Irvin was awesome. So what happens with that group, the back end of the order? What happens with that? You were able to bring in Michael Soroka. Does he seize the opportunity to be an everyday starter with this group after stinking it up for Atlanta and Chicago the past two seasons? You have a lot of major questions right now surrounding this team, and I think, what was last year's win total set at? Was it 68? 66? Something somewhere around there? From a wins and losses standpoint, obviously, the spring is going to tell so much, and we're still very early in the process here. From a wins and losses standpoint, though, I'm curious to see how competitive this group actually is this year. Because there was a, what was it, like a month and a half stretch last year where it felt like, oh, whoa, this group may contend for a wild card spot in the National League. And then obviously, the way that they finished, just uber disappointing. But there are a lot of questions to face this group. It's an exciting time, I think, to be a baseball fan. Obviously, we all know the young pups that they have in their system. One young pup we got to see last year that I think, if he has a really good spring, could end up being one of your five starters here is DJ Hurst. Thought he showed really tremendous growth and flashes last year. Does he earn the right to be a starter? There are a lot of questions surrounding the team, especially with the pitching staff. I think that, to me, is the most intriguing talking point about this group. Who has a big-time spring? Who shows a major jump from the end of the summer to now? I think that will answer a lot of our questions with this team. Another guy, and I think it was me and Toby talking about it off air last week. Do the Nats view Trevor Williams as a starter? Is Trevor Williams a guy that's going to be in your bullpen, or is he your starter? Because before he got hurt last year, another guy that I thought was dealing really well. So we'll see ultimately what happens. I wanted to touch a little bit on the Nats as they had their first official full squad workout of the spring. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get hot and heavy into it, man. NFL offseason in full swing. I keep saying it every time I crack the mic. It is the most pivotal offseason for the Washington Commanders of this rebuild. A lot of cap space, a lot of free agents, but ultimately it's about capitalizing on Jaden Daniels being on this rookie contract. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll begin to take a look ahead at free agency. Plus, we'll discuss the news that broke yesterday. T. Higgins expected to be franchise tagged by the Cincinnati Bengals. How does it impact the Commanders in their pursuit of a wide receiver? We'll discuss that more next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rocking and rolling here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime, an abbreviated edition of OT, as we'll take you up to 8:30. Hokies basketball coming up after myself. A lot to get to here, man. NFL offseason in full swing. I actually just sent a video to myself on Twitter. I'm not sure if we'll play that for you here tonight, whether we'll do it tomorrow night, but said video kind of speaks to my thought process when it comes to this NFL offseason for the Washington Commanders. And I feel like I have done a pretty good job laying out what's important to me, what matters to me, and then which way I think they ultimately will go. And the one thing that continues to make my jaw drop is we're already fully submerged in the NFL offseason. We're already talking draft. We're already talking free agency. This is what happens, though, right? I gave it up for us as sports fans yesterday. We are owed a round of applause. We survived our first weekend without NFL football. And as a Commanders fan, I don't know if you all feel the same way that I do. This offseason is like moving at a rapid pace that, quite honestly, I'm not accustomed to. Because I quite literally have never, until this year, seen this group punch their ticket to the conference championship. Normally, when the Final Four is happening in the NFL, what are we doing as Commander fans? Well, which quarterback are we going to ultimately end up taking? Who's going to be our next head coach? Should we fire the OC or fire the DC? What's so amazing about where the Commanders currently sit is that they have everything in front of them with all of the resources to build off of what last year was. And I think as we have conversations this offseason and we dish on which free agent we want to bring in, we dish on which draft pick we want to bring in, and we, when we talk about, you know, who are going to be, you know, the guys that we bring back or resign, what our biggest needs are, all the offseason stuff you talk about. This time around, we're doing it with the context of having a franchise quarterback. And I think it changes the discussion totally. Now, as we move towards free agency, because that's kind of the first thing on the docket, well, let me not lie to you. The first thing on the docket, I would have to say, is actually happening today. Starting, I think it was at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time earlier today, teams can start franchise tagging guys. We got the news yesterday
that the Bengals intended on franchise tagging their disgruntled wide receiver, T. Higgins. And I think you can tag players between now and March the 4th is what that is the timeline on that. So we'll see what free agents that you all want that you think are going to be available that actually aren't available. That's the hard part about trying to have a discussion on free agency. That to me is where things get interesting. But big picture when looking at the offseason for the Commanders, I had the slogan last year, we're at the mercy of the evaluator, right? This year, I'm going to coin the same phrase, but there's a little bit of a caveat to it. Because I'll be real, I'm not so sure what Adam Peters did last year is replicable. You pick up what I'm putting down there? Think about how many one-year deals Washington signed last year. Think about how they constructed this roster and who the key contributors were on this roster as well. Is that replicable? Can you repeat that? Well, we know you're not going to find another Jaden Daniels in the draft. Well, do we? See, that's the thing here. There's so many opportunities for this front office to put their stamp on this thing and show that the juice is worth the squeeze, so to speak, on them. Because that's kind of where I sit with things. I am starting to question, not in a bad way, just a genuine question as a football fan. Can they replicate what they did last offseason, this offseason? How will they fill this roster? Because I hate to be the bearer of bad news, right? We have a lot of holes on this roster. And they put a Band-Aid on a lot of positions last year. And it worked out masterfully for them. How, you know, rare it is to sign as many free agents as Washington did last year, have them all gel, have them all buy in, and then go out and make the conference championship. It doesn't happen a lot. And when you think about the success of this team, a lot of it was because of the quarterback you drafted and then the free agents that you brought in. Like, quite literally, that is why you had success. So as we get geared up for this super important offseason, and there's a reason I keep calling this the most important offseason of the rebuild. You know why? Last year, it was pretty obvious from day one who your quarterback was going to be. I think once you saw Cliff Kingsbury was the hire, it was pretty obvious Jaden was going to be your guy. I could have made that pick. You had to fill out this roster because the last guy left it in such terrible shape. And your relationships, right, that some of the coaches on staff had with players, that helped you bring in a Bobby Wagner. That helped you bring in a Zach Ertz. Jason Simmons is here. A lot of you all don't know who that is. Jason Simmons is the the pass game coordinator on defense and the assistant defensive backs coach. You know who he coached? Jeremy Chinn during his rookie season in Carolina. So that's why you were able to bring in a guy like Jeremy Chinn. As we get geared up for this offseason, obviously there are going to be relationships out there in free agency that help you bring in guys. I know Charvarius Ward, the defensive back from San Francisco, is a guy that a lot of us look at and go, love to have him here in Washington. So, yes, is it replicable? I guess so. How likely is it that you hit on damn near every free agent you bring in like last year? Probably not likely. Because here's the thing about free agency. They're free for a reason, is how I would put it. They're available for a reason. Whether it's injury, whether it's inconsistent performance, whether it's character concerns, whether it's contractually related. Like, there's a reason guys hit the market. And that's why I'm always a big believer of, hey, you build the core of your roster through the draft. You fill your needs in free agency. It's going to be a big offseason coming up, man. I've said it every time I've cracked the mic since the start of the offseason that there are going to be tough decisions that got to be made. And not everybody that you want to bring back is going to be brought back. Not every target that you want them to go out and sign in free agency is going to be brought in. I think the big thing we all should be looking at right now is philosophically, how are they going to look at this offseason? Because like I said, you put a Band-Aid on a lot of spots. This roster, based off of the deals you signed, it's kind of on the older side here. How do they choose to view this offseason? How aggressive will Adam Peters and company be? We'll continue to discuss that as we get into the 7 o'clock hour. The number to call the show, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. When we come back, top of the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into more of the Washington Commanders offseason and how they plan on retooling this roster. We'll take your calls as well next. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 8:30 tonight. Hokies basketball coming up after myself. We will continue to look ahead at the all-important offseason for the Washington Commanders. A lot of cap space, good draft picks, and a franchise quarterback. How will the Commanders capitalize on their first trip to the conference championship since 1991? The more that I think about it, the more I get locked in on this group. Can they retool this roster once again on the fly? Tough decisions are going to have to be made. We're still learning about this front office. And I know when I come up with phrases like, we're at the mercy of the evaluator, it maybe makes you think twice about what I just said, but like, let's just be open and honest about this. We still don't know who this front office is. We're still learning their core values, their core principles. Because I'll be real, with their actions in year one doesn't necessarily match up with what they said at the press conference. And I'll say this. I'll tell you why. Explain how. And I'm not trying to, this isn't an indictment on Adam Peters and company. They deserve a ton of credit for it, for being flexible and going against their thought process in some ways. What's the number one thing we heard from them at the podium? And the number one reason we were so enamored by Adam Peters potentially coming here? We knew that based off of his track record, he was going to kick ass in the NFL draft. And as we sit here, almost a year removed from his first draft class, outside of Jayden Daniels and Mikey Sanders still, did he draft well? We'll discuss this as the offseason rolls along, because I don't want to ruffle any feathers with this. I'm just asking the honest questions here. I'm sure fans are thinking about it. I'm sure my colleagues here on The Fan and the Team 980 are thinking about it. We're still learning about this front office, and that's a good thing. It's not an indictment on that group. It's just the reality of the situation. They sold us on building through the draft, yet last year they signed a bunch of free agents in year one. Out of necessity, I might add, right? They had to field a 90-man roster. I get that. There were so many holes left by the previous regime that they had to go out and sign a bunch of free agents the way that they did. But my question is, now that that's not the case, and newsflash, it kind of still is, when you got 29 unrestricted free agents, how will they go about their business this year? How will they retool this roster once again on the fly this time around? Because, see, I think the prism that you look at your roster through is different when you have a bona fide top five quarterback. And that is what Washington has right now. I'll repeat that for you in case you're not picking up what I'm putting down. The way you view the offseason, from my vantage point, should be a hell of a lot different when you have a top five guy at the game's most important position. How will they go about building this roster? You still have a bunch of holes to fill because, like I said in the opening, they put a bunch of Band-Aids on a lot of different positions. People continue to rave about the cap space. Oh, they got the third most salary cap space in the National Football League. Yeah. On February the 18th, the Commanders, as a fact, have the third most cap space in the NFL. They also have 29 unrestricted free agents. And I'm no whiz kid, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I'm pretty sure that's the most of the National Football League. And I would think it's by far. I think a lot of those guys ultimately get brought back. So now my question remains, how much cap space do you have when it's actually time to go sign outside of the organization free agents. And I don't know how much they're going to ultimately have. I was listening to B. Mitch and Toby earlier today. B. Mitch is all in on bringing Bobby Wagner back. I think everyone here locally is in on bringing Bobby Wagner back. I am as well. B. Mitch called him his priority free agent that's got to return. And I think there's a couple of different answers to that question. For me, it's Jeremy Chinn. For me, it would be Jeremy Chinn because of his age and because he really could be a part of the core of this roster and this organization for the next 5 to 7 years. That's not the case with a Bobby Wagner. That's not the case with a Zach Ertz. Most teams would be looking to replace those guys. I wonder, and this is interesting here. Vic, I'll ask you this, I guess. If Washington didn't make the NFC Championship last year, how inclined would the team be to bring back Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz?
That's an interesting question.
Because in reality, if you're a good football team, you don't really have a bunch of key contributors being that long in the tooth.
You probably move on.
Yeah. And we talked about Bobby Wagner, 98% of the snaps played this year defensively. He wore the green dot. That's the guy that calls the defense. I continue to say, if I was Washington, now you're pigeonholed into bringing Bobby Wagner back. Because if you don't, think about how much the communication changes on your already struggling defense that needs to improve, that must improve. Non-negotiable. That group is the Achilles heel of this football team right now. So it kind of just goes to my point. Bobby's going to get brought back because the replacement is not an obvious one in-house. You drafted Jordan McGee last year out of Temple. I think internally they like Jordan McGee. I think internally they feel like eventually he could contribute. But where do you go?
But I would say one thing for Bobby, and it has nothing to do with playing defense. It's what he has been a mentor for Jaden Daniels.
For sure.
And I think that's something you can't overlook.
Not going to overlook it at all. I think when you're in year one of developing a culture and trying to establish an identity, that means more than it does in year two. Because now in year two, if you're Adam Peters, if you're Dan Quinn, after having these guys in your building for an entire offseason, you know what the standard is. You know what the culture is. You know what the expectation is. Bobby can't be the leader of the Commanders forever. And I think the discussion that they're currently having internally, and I heard from a birdie. I don't like to play the whole sources game. I would put a lot of money on Bobby Wagner coming back. I've heard from a very trusted source that Bobby Wagner intends to return. And they heard that from the horse's mouth, from Bobby himself. So I'll leave that there. He is going to be back here. Zach Ertz is going to be back here next year, most likely, if he continues his playing career, is what I would say. Is going to be back. But My big question as we continue to move forward with this thing is how do they build off of what they did last year in the offseason? Because a lot of the guys that you brought in, some of them got multi-year deals, your Dorrance Armstrongs, your Tyler Biadasz's, those are the like part of the core of your roster moving forward. Some of the other guys aren't, and they're just going to be one-year rentals. How many of the guys that you brought in last year are truly one-year rentals? How many guys are a part of the fabric of your culture moving forward?
When was the last time we actually had players want to come back? You know, guys on one-year deals and like, I want to come back.
Yeah.
New.
It is. It is unprecedented territory that we're in. And I think it really lends itself to the conversation that we're having. This is different. That's why I keep trying to hit on it. It's different. For the first time in my lifetime, we have a legitimate top five guy at the position that is here for the long haul, through thick and thin. No matter if, and I keep hearing all the conversation about, oh, will they take a step back next year? Define taking a step back. If they win 9 games next year and lose a tiebreaker and miss out on the playoffs, is that really a step back? Or is that the byproduct of playing a second place schedule? Is that the byproduct of not having the best injury luck in the National Football League, which I thought they had last year? We got to be patient with this thing. And it's ironic that patience, The word patience is being spewed by the youngest in charge. I'm not supposed to have patience, but the more and more I think about this, and I want to shout out the folks at EA and Madden, because I've been twisted and turning this roster on my Madden franchise all types of which ways. I've created and deleted like 7 franchises since the end of the season. Mind you, that was 2 weeks ago, people. Because I'll go through 2-3 seasons in a night. You know what I'm saying? So when you're talking about building the core of this roster and you're talking about turning yourself into a sustained winner, those are some of the things that you got to think about. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Real quick, let's get to Thomas in Fredericksburg who wants to tap in. What's going on, Thomas?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
So my thing is, first off, I think you guys should go after maybe Cooper Kupp. And I don't know if you guys actually should go after Bobby Wagner. Maybe that boy from Kansas City that you like a lot. I forget his name.
Talking about Dre Greenlaw. No, not Nick Bolton. I'm sorry. Nick Bolton.
Yeah, Nick.
Sorry about that. I thought you said San Francisco. Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm a big San Francisco fan, but I think you guys should build. I mean, with you guys having Adam Peters, I think you guys should build the way San Francisco's, how they built theirs.
And I would think, Thomas, draft, that's what they're trying
draft,
to do.
Draft. Instead of just throw out the money like Dan Snyder used to do. Like, everybody wants to talk about Myles Garrett. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, T. Higgins or Debo and stuff like that. No. You guys got 29 free agents.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You're going to have to pay them. Yeah. You're going to have to pay them. At least some of them, if not, like, a lot of them.
Thomas, I'll put it to you like this, and I appreciate your call. I think he brings up a great point. This is what I've been trying to hit on. They've got $74 million in cap space, according to SpotTrack, over the cap, most of the salary cap gurus out there. You have 29 UFAs. By the time it's the appropriate time to sign outside free agents, you're probably looking at having somewhere between $55 and $60 million in cap, which is still a considerable amount, I might add. But when you think about a Terry McLaurin contract extension, when you think about having cap down the road to sign some of your young core pieces to long-term deals, it ain't a job for the weak at heart. I'll tell you straight up. You got to be willing to piss some people off being an NFL general manager, a talent evaluator, because you get all the blame, you get all the credit. So we're going to see how Adam Peters chooses to move here throughout this offseason. I think a lot of the guys that were brought in last year, my big thing that I keep looking at, and we mentioned this a moment ago, how many of those guys are a part of the core of your roster moving forward? That's why I brought up the old heads, Bobby, Zach Ertz. They're not a part of the core of your roster long term. They're not going to be. They're old. So I'm talking about your Alamide Zaccheauses. I'm talking about De'Ami Brown. I'm talking about Noah Igbinoghene. Those are some of the guys that will be a part of the core foundation of your roster. And that doesn't mean that I want Alamide Zaccheaus to come back and be wide receiver two. That's not at all what I'm saying. You have to team build in the National Football League. And Alamide Zaccheaus is a badass. Can I expound upon that? Plays his tail off, gives maximum effort in the run game, capable enough as a receiver to get open and have production. Isn't the fastest guy, isn't the biggest guy, isn't the strongest guy, but culturally, you talk to anybody around that building, and I think Cliff low-key mentioned it at times throughout the season during press conferences. He's giving you maximum effort in practice. He's giving you maximum effort from a preparation standpoint, from a recovery standpoint. Those are the type of guys that you need within this organization. So what I continue to look at as we get geared up for this offseason, How do they strike that balance between spending cash on free agents and then supplementing the roster through the draft? Or excuse me, then building the roster through the draft. How they strike that balance, I think, will tell how this offseason goes. And like I said, it ain't for the weak of heart. You're not going to make Brian Mitchell happy with all your decisions, Adam Peters. You're not going to make J.P. Finley happy with all your decisions, or any of us as radio hosts. I hope that they aren't listening to anything that are coming from these airwaves. Because there are tough decisions to be made. And I understand we're still all on the emotional high of punching our ticket to the NFC Championship. But at some point, you got to come back to reality here. At some point, you got to understand what it is and what it ain't. And right now, the reality of the situation is you've got hella cap space, hella unrestricted free agents to sign, and hella holes on the roster. How are you going to figure it out? That's why Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and the scouts, that's why they're paid the big bucks. And I want to give some love to the scouts here real quick. The pro scouts. You don't hit on the amount of outside free agents that Washington hit on without your pro scouts kicking ass. You don't bring in a Noah Brown and have him immediately come in and be a contributor without kicking ass. So credit to the pro scouts. I don't know how many of which were already here under Riverboat and the other than the Marty Party, but they did a good job, man. They did a good job. Can you replicate that this offseason? That's my big question. And I don't want to be painted in any negative light, but, like, in reality, like, is it likely that they can replicate it? It's a hard thing to do. Think about why this team made the postseason. Think about where this team finished last year. Jaden Daniels and the free agents. That's why you're here. That's why we're looking at this franchise with more optimism than we have in my lifetime. The question now becomes, how do you build on it? How do you build on it? We've had numerous of conversations, countless conversations, taken hundreds of calls since the start of the offseason about wide receiver and how are they going to get another weapon for Jaden. You made it to the NFC Championship last year with Olamide Zaccheaus, Jamison Crowder, Noah Brown, and De'Ami Brown as your complementary pieces. I think you'll be A-OK with some second-tier guys and not your T. Higgins, not your insert big-name wide receiver. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Big-time offseason coming up for the Washington Commanders, fresh off of an offseason where they had a lot of success. How likely is it that General Manager Adam Peters and this Commanders front office can replicate the offseason success they had last year? Your calls on that next. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. About an hour left to go here in this abbreviated Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 8:30. Hokies basketball coming up after I get off the airwaves with you. And right now, I want to take your calls, talking all things Commanders offseason. Big offseason ahead. We had a key date this afternoon in the NFL offseason calendar. Starting at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time today, teams can officially franchise tag their own free agents. They have up until March the 4th. To make a decision on those guys. Next week is the NFL scouting combine. 3 weeks is NFL free agency. So we're getting hot and heavy into the offseason, and it's breezing by right before our eyes here. With that being said, as you look at this Commanders roster, as you look at this Commanders organization, 29 unrestricted free agents, a lot of salary cap space, and got a lot of holes. Adam Peters and company last year did yeoman's work during the offseason. They hit on damn near every free agent they brought in. The draft Well, when you get the quarterback position right, the rest of the draft doesn't matter. But the draft, you hit on Jayden Daniels. You hit on Mikey Samuels still. You may have found yourself a core special teamer and a potential fringe starter at linebacker with Jordan McGee. You may have yourself a nice rotational piece up front along your D-line with Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Johnny Newton. So, like, they did pretty good in the draft. Can they replicate it? How likely is it that that group, talking about Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the scouts, how likely is it that they can replicate the success they had of last year? And then we'll add on to this. What should their top priority be as we get geared up for this offseason? Open-ended question, your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Rob's in Haymarket. What's going on, Rob?
Lindell, man. Love your show, bro.
Appreciate
Love your
you.
Show.
Appreciate you, man.
Hey, man, we are in the most ideal situation I have seen in the last 20 years, bro. We have a dynamic quarterback. We have money for free agents. We are a playoff contending team. We have draft picks. And we have a winning culture. Free agents are going to want to come here. We don't even have to give up draft capital. We can continue to get younger. Dude, we are in a prime position. And as far as people I'm going after, man, I'm trying to get Ronnie Staley here ASAP because we need a left tackle. We know we need a left tackle. And my other big one is Godwin. Bro, he's a baller. So, and if we can get Khalil Mack also, that would be great.
But look at what you just said, Rob. Look, you just spent what? all the damn money, Rob.
No. Listen, I agree with Rob.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You know we're going to cut some contracts. There's some guys on our team right now.
For sure.
We're making big bucks on that offensive line right now. And we're just really replacing money with money.
I get that. Right? But you what you said there, first of all, I agree with all of the names that you listed. As they'd be great additions for this team. The reality of the situation is, though, man, you can't afford all of those guys, especially after you pay your own guys. So you name four guys, you'd be lucky if you end up with one of those four guys, especially when you list top-of-the-market guys at their position when it comes to free agency. Rob, I appreciate you chiming in as always, brother, man. Enjoy the rest of your week. 1-800-636-1067. He brought up two of my favorites. And I'll give you – Rob, doing the show for me. Rob, why don't you come co-host for me, brother, man, if you're still listening? But no, as we move throughout the show here this afternoon, and we'll hit on this tomorrow night as well, as I'm back with you 6:30 to 10 for a full extended edition of OT, I'll start to list some of my top free agent targets here. I think the way free agency in the draft is set up, if Adam Peters and company are responsible, if Adam Peters and company take the correct calculated risks, they could be right back in the NFC Championship game next year or in the Super Bowl. It's about what matters to them. And I got to think, based on the track record of Adam Peters, I got to believe that he wants to build from the inside out. They want fast, physical football players. How do you do that? You build through the trenches, man. 1-800-636-1067. Jermaine is in Bowie. What's going on, Jermaine?
Hey, what's up, man? So I think we got to build on defense. If we brought everybody back on offense and just ran it back, we had a top five offense because of Jayden Daniels. He makes players better than him. Now, we need a left tackle, but other than that, we got to spend our money on defense. We went to the championship with a 24th-ranked defense, which is unheard of. Now, our schedule played a big part of that, but we won't be able to do that with next year's schedule. So we've got to beef up our defense. And if you know Adam Peters' teams in the past, he doesn't go after those big splash, overpaid players. He doesn't overpay for players. We know that about him.
For sure.
Just with last year, I mean, we got Bobby Wagner at a discount. You know, he didn't overpay for anybody. So these $30 million – you know, T. Higgins and all that, he's not going to do that. That's not how he builds. That's the circus we had before. Going after these
overpriced
players.
But see, this is the other side of that argument, Jermaine, and I get what you're saying. Everyone keeps referencing Dan Snyder and overspending with that regime.
Right.
If they do decide that, hey, we want to go get Myles Garrett, that's not shades of the past with Daniel Snyder. That is them looking at this roster through the prism of, hey, We got a quarterback on a rookie contract. Let's be aggressive at a premium position. So I wouldn't view it that way. Now, T. Higgins, I've listed my thoughts on this and gave my thoughts on this frequently. Like, it just doesn't fit them to me, especially when you already have Terry McLaurin in-house.
Right.
Jermaine, I appreciate your call as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. How likely is it that Adam Peters and this Commanders front office can replicate last year's success in the offseason? You hit on pretty much every free agent you brought in. Some of the free agents that you brought in are now a core of your team moving forward. See, that's the interesting thing. How rare is it for a team? How rare is it for a team to find core foundational pieces in free agency? I'm going to be real with you. It doesn't happen a lot. Because like I said, free agents traditionally at premium positions are free for a reason. Medicals, character, contract, age, list your reason. That's just what happens with this. So as we move forward throughout this offseason, their thought process, their decision-making, I'm going to be locked in on it, man, because there is a way for them to upgrade this group, recalibrate, and be in a perfect spot entering next year. Will they do it? That's what remains to be seen. Chris is in Annapolis. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, buddy. Yeah, I agree with that first caller. I think Ronnie Stanley would be a great addition to the team. You can move Coleman over. I like what Jim Harbaugh did with the Chargers last year. You know, a lot of people thought they would go out and try to get they end up drafting Ladd, who did a good job wide receiver for him. But, you know, he went defensive, offensive line early. I really feel like that's the way we need to go. And also, here's another thing. I definitely think our Peters and them can replicate what they did last year. I mean, that's what good front offices do. You know, the Ravens do it every year.
But Chris, do you realize how many guys they brought in from outside of the organization?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're not going to hit on every single one. But I really feel like they can do it. And here's another thing I haven't heard anyone really talk about. They're going to be targeting players who have the attitude that they want on this team. Mm-hmm. You know, T. Higgins, you know, he put up good numbers. But was he blocking downfield when, on running plays? Yeah. Like, we need players who are willing to block downfield when they're not involved in the play, especially when you have Jane Daniels in the backfield. You know, you can't have anyone give up on a play he can get hurt.
For sure. I hear what you're saying. One guy that really interests me in that category, Chris Godwin. Now, the injury history for Chris Godwin's spotty, but if you're a receiver-needy team, that's run heavy or wants to get better in the screen game, he just provides so much effort and thump and discipline as a blocker. I think if we're going to go spend a little bit more than I'm comfortable with at receiver, Chris Godwin would probably be my guy. I think in the last call, it makes a tremendous point. He fits the character of this offense. Why do you think Olamide Zaccheaus took snaps from Jahan Dotson this summer? Because OZ going to get his ass out there and block. Point blank, period. Blocking, physicality in a run game is a lifestyle choice. Can't be something you do every now and then. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. More of your calls. Plus, we'll start to take a look at this Commanders offensive line and rookie tackle Brandon Coleman. How did he fare during his rookie season? And am I comfortable leaving him out on an island at left tackle coming up in year two? Your calls in that next. The number on the MGM National Harbor List of Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. Taking you up to 8:30 here on this abbreviated Tuesday night edition of Overtime. Talking all things Washington Commanders free agency. I am super excited about the prospect of this team getting marketably better this offseason. Like, they can really take a step forward. And I know people are already thinking, well, damn, now they made the NFC title game this past year. How can they take a major step forward? Let's just be real about it. They made the NFC Championship last year, but they had a horseshoe stuck up their behind. That makes sense? I'm not saying they were lucky, because I don't want to be like Eric Bickle and get eviscerated on social media for calling the season a fluke. But, like, I get where EB was coming from. EB made a ton of sense with what he said. In reality, can't you make the argument that this should have been a 10-win football team at minimum? At best? Malik Nabers drop in week two. The Hail Jaden. Two things that are improbable. Hell, I'll even take it a step further. You can make the argument this should have been a 9-win team last year. Devontae Smith has it in the breadbasket for a walk-in touchdown at home against Philly in week 17, and you pulled that one out of your ass. So you add a first-place schedule, or second-place schedule, rather, into the equation, and not as good of an offseason, and where do you stand? Got a lot to get to and a lot of decisions to be made between now and the start of training camp. I'm all on board for it. I'm excited. I think it's a great time to be a fan. But, like, I want to continue to be objective about this. I know we're on the emotional high of going to the conference championship. I get that. But, man, it's harder staying at the top than it is getting there, is the best way that I can put it. It's a hell of a lot harder to stay at the top than it is to get there. And I think right now the deck is stacked against this group. And I want to expound upon that. Like, 29 unrestricted free agents is a lot. When you consider the holes that they have, it's going to be interesting to see how they figure it all out. I have faith that they'll be able to get it done, because I think this front office, spearheaded by Adam Peters, the track record it speaks for itself. I even look at Lance. Lance comes over from Detroit. He was the number two. Was he the number two in Detroit? He was a high-ranking official within that Lions front office, spearheaded by Brad Holmes, which him and Howie Roseman, I think, are the best two execs in the National Football League. They got some tough decisions to make. I trust the talent evaluators to make those tough decisions correctly. Blind faith, kinda. We gotta live with it, man. Trucker Dan is in Pennsylvania. What's going on?
What's going on, youngest of y'all?
What's going on, brother man? How are you?
Don't forget that win over the Saints. We could have lost that one too.
I'm about to say, look, it could have been an 8-win, Trucker Dan. Don't be loud with it now, because I don't want to be painted as some negative cat.
But right now they had a point that they believe so much. So that energy that they're going to take with them next year is going to be on a different level.
Certainly.
And you sit here and you say, we don't have enough, you know, well, we're going to spend all the money and all that, but we just hired, I forgot the guy's name that we took it from somebody. I think we took it from Detroit that does the salary cap. I think we're just going to be just fine, because the Eagles always signing players and everybody has. How do they do it? They don't got the money. I think it's Washington time to do it. Then when it comes to wide receivers, I don't want nobody. The only person that I like is the guy from Tennessee Titans. It's Nick Westbrook.
Nick Westbrook, Akine.
He caught a touchdown.
Yeah,
he caught a touchdown damn near every game.
Yeah.
And he is a guy that plays his tail off. He block off. He does everything. That's the only, and he's young. So that's the only one that I like. Everybody else is old. They're injury. They kind of nag. I don't want them. I don't want none of them. But it's so many talent in the draft, including wide receivers, that I'm pretty sure we can find wide receivers in the seventh round, and they come over here in Washington, and they're going to look good. We got a guy in Jaden Daniels that can throw the ball, and that's really what matters.
Yeah.
The scheme that we got is beautiful. It's a guy in he plays for Louisville.
And I think there are a lot of wide receiver options, Trucker Dan, and I appreciate the call as always, man. As we move throughout the offseason, we got to pace ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I'll get you some of my top wide receivers in the draft that I like. By the way, none of them are in the first round. I think the sweet spot for wide receivers in this draft is like 32 to 70 in terms of like the player range. I think you can get a really good player in the second round. I think you can get a starting wide receiver to go opposite of Terry in the third round. So that's why, to me, it's going to be interesting in terms of how they choose how they choose to allocate the funds. People are active on social media right now with me. It's at @NELL_BTP. I just tweeted out a GIF of a certain free agent wide receiver that I'm all in on. Chris Godwin. If I was going to spend some bigger money at wideout, and I don't know what Spot Track projects Chris Godwin to garner on the market, but I really would be interested in bringing Chris Godwin in. I understand people are going to talk about the injury history and things of that nature. Really, if you look at Chris Godwin from an injury standpoint, it was really only last year where he missed significant time and got hurt and missed games. He missed 10 games last year. He played all 17 in 2023. He missed two games in 2022. He missed three games in 2021. Missed five games in 2020. But outside of that, hasn't really missed more than three games in a season. So he's normally available. And before last year, it's three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons for Chris Godwin. And I think culturally, in terms of what they want out of their wide receivers, he fits like a glove. Mike is in D.C. What's going on, Michael?
What's up, big dog?
How you doing?
I'm taking a little bit of a different take. I'm good, thanks. I'm thinking, let's turn our one into twos. Let's turn our twos into three. I want as many third, fourth, and fifth round picks as possible. I want 20 of them. I want 20 of them in the next 3 years. That's what I want. And I don't want to pay any guys. I want commanders. I want guys that are coming in our building that are born, bred, start-to-finish commanders. And I want the guys that are kicked off their teams for bad scheme, bad management, bad timing, whatever it is, prove it years. I want those guys on our teams. I just want, and I don't care if it's a new fit. We got Jaden, man. It's all good. It's all good. I'm curious on what you think.
Yeah, man. My draft thoughts, I'm still formulating them and still working my way through them. But I think if you had to inject me with truth serum, Doc Walker style, here on February the 18th, 2025, I'm trading out of 29. Obviously, that is going to be significantly impacted by who exactly is available at 29. But, like, at wide receiver, unless it's Luther Burden or Emeka Egbuka, I want a second-round guy. Like, defensive end, probably it depends on who slides to you. James Pierce out of Tennessee is a guy that is top five on a lot of guys' big boards. He has major character flaws and has been taken off of some teams' boards. I don't know how his pre-draft process is going to go, but just to answer that draft question real quick, right now I'm leaning towards trading back. Doug is in Potomac. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. Look, I think when you're going to look at – when we look back on this class, free agent class that Peter's put together, I think you got to say it might be one of the best in NFL history when you look at free agency and how everyone –
You talking about this past year?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree, bro.
Across the board, I agree
100%.
Across the board, it was incredible. And look, I think they got to push all their chips in, and they got to make a run at a Hassan Reddick and potentially a Khalil Mack so that they can have someone terrorizing quarterbacks. I do think bringing Bobby Wagner back makes a lot of sense. He's a great locker room guy. He played 98% of the snaps, so maybe he plays 85 and you draft in the third round a linebacker that he can mentor and tutor. Look, I think their biggest question here is, if I believe Jaden's the guy, so do you really need a T. Higgins to come in,
brother,
or do you have that first Doug, guy in? Yeah,
you're picking up what I'm putting down, man. Shout out to you, because I feel like some of the callers have said it, but every time I go to the phones, it's T. Higgins. It's name your big-time premier wide receiver, and they want him here. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Doug. When you got a one percenter at the position, look at Pat Mahomes. Look at Lamar Jackson. Look at Josh Allen this past year.
Look at Brady.
So,
yeah, I mean, he had Randy Moss 1 year, and Edelman was a good player, but he had one guy, and then he had other people who were role position receivers. That's what they can do here. Maybe you pick them up. Maybe you get a someone in the draft. I mean, look, De'Ami Brown. I don't know. I mean, look, do you bring him back? Because
wide receivers under contract entering free agency, I think you got to bring some of your own guys back, Doug. I appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah. It's going to be a wild offseason. It's the best way that I can put it. And it feels like as a Commanders community, if I can describe this as that, we're all over the place. We don't know what we want. But I think we all know this. We understand we're in prime position to capitalize on what happened last year. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, I'll give you some of my top free agent targets in the trenches. And then ESPN and their insiders listed the best free agent fits for the top 50 guys in this year's class. Who do they like going to Washington? Let you know that next here on The Fan. So they're rocking and rolling here on this abbreviated Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 8:30. Hokies basketball coming up on the other side of myself. I was actually looking at the calendar. NBA All-Star Weekend is over. You all spent a ridiculous amount of time complaining about that. NBA basketball is actually coming back tomorrow night, though. Got to wait till tomorrow. Lakers and Hornets. Irony surrounding that game, obviously, is the fact that that trade was recently rescinded that would have sent Dalton Knecht to Charlotte in exchange for Hornets big man Mark Williams. Still reading the tea leaves on that one in terms of what the solution is, but it's going to be a very interesting second half of the NBA season. I'm back with you tomorrow, 6:30 to 10 right here on The Fan. We'll talk plenty of Washington Wizards as they get geared up for the second half of their regular season. But right now, though, taking a look at the Washington Commanders and what they should be targeting here coming up in free agency. If you're just now joining the show, I'm at a point right now where I clearly believe this is the most important offseason of the rebuild. I also feel like it's going to be extremely difficult to replicate what they did last year in the offseason. And the last caller, I think, hit it on the head. At first, I was like, oh, you're gassing it, bro. There's no way. But in reality, like, I could make an argument that the Commanders' free agent run last year may have been one of the greatest free agencies of all time. When you think about how many impact players they brought in, how quickly they were able to ingratiate themselves and be a contributor, like, it was a masterclass in free agency. And Adam Peters gets all the credit, right? Because he's the GM. But the pro scouts, I thought, were amazing when it comes to making those in-between-the-margin type of signings. Your Alameda Zacchaeus, your Noah Brown, your Noah Igbinoghene. Like, it's been cool as hell to see, man. I'm super impressed by it. And I hope they can replicate it is the best way that I can put it, man. Will they replicate it? That's the question that we're asking you at 1-800-636-1067. I think it's possible. Is it likely? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm in between a rock and a hard place when it comes to whether or not I think they could do it again, talking about smash free agency the way that they did. But if they are going to do it again, here are a couple of free agent targets that I would be all over if I was the Washington Commanders. First and foremost, I understand, right? And you all should understand this too, and I think you do. You're a smarter group of fans, and I give you credit for being. You got to get better in the trenches on both sides of the football. On both sides of the football. And that brings us to my, like, number one free agent target that I'll be going after is Trey Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is the top interior lineman on the market, and I think he gives you an upgrade at a clear position of need, talking about offensive guard. Now, to me, the Commanders need to bring in at least three guards. Two starters for opening day, and then a backup. I think, you know, Sam Cosmi, reading the tea leaves here and listening around the water cooler, he's probably not going to be ready for week one. I don't think you see Cosmi until mid-October, potentially. Everybody's body is different, right? Every man heals and recovers differently. So I don't want to, like, be super declarative with that statement. But, like, that's just the way I see it. And I think I got the room to speak on ACL tears. I've been through three ACL rehabs in my life. The first one, I retore it 4 months into the rehab process. Second time that it took me to come back, I think it was somewhere, like, and I had nerve damage. It wasn't your traditional clean ACL tear. Second time coming back from ACL, It took me like 11 months, 12 months, almost like a full calendar year, closer to 13 months when you think about like the return to full capacity. Because it was my second one and I messed up the rehab process the last time. And then the third time, I don't even think we really consider that timeline because now I'm sitting in this chair. Like, I never fully recovered. I still got atrophy. The point being is that, like, relying on Sam Cosby for next year wouldn't be smart. It's basically what I'm trying to say. You're going to need to add guys. To me, Trey Smith is the guy that you do it with, right? Like, I think foot speed, the way he moves people in the run game, and that's really where I think the issue lies up front with this group talking about the offensive line. The run game struggled down the stretch, not because and I'm reading tweets right now on Chris Godwin, but the running game struggled down the stretch because the interior of the offensive line got banged up and they weren't blocking well. Tyler Biadasz played with injuries down the stretch. Sam Cosby, we know, was hurt down the stretch and then really got a bad injury with the ACL. And then Nick Allegretti, to me, I just don't know if he's a starting guard in this league. And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. I ain't trying to talk down on Nick Allegretti. I think he's a great dude. Everybody to a man loves him in the locker room. It's interesting, man. It's interesting. Trey Smith would be my number one guy, though. He comes in here at guard, and then for years to come, you have him and Cosby as your guard tandem. That's a badass front, man. With Biadasz? See, I think the key with the offensive linemen, right, I'm not just going out signing big-name guys that are older. The thing that I like about Trey Smith is, like, he's young. He's somebody that'll be around. He's only 25. He's somebody that'll be around. He's got a medical issue, though, right? I think blood clots is what he dealt with last year, so that's kind of scary and a big risk that you're taking if you're a franchise. But, like, I look at Trey Smith as a core foundational piece moving forward that you can have. And I think that's the key here. I get wanting to sign talent, but you still got to be thinking about the core of this football team moving forward and who you want to have be a part of your core. And I think Trey Smith fits the bill 100%. The other guy I wanted to talk about here, another free agent target of mine, that's a big fella up front. And I don't think he is a household name, but he's somebody that I am all over because he just simply played well. Alaric Jackson, offensive tackle from the LA Rams. I think he is someone that really could help out this offensive line. He's a left tackle. He comes in, and maybe he could be your right tackle. Maybe he could be your left tackle. I don't know. As, you know, what actually will happen with him. He missed the first two games of last year due to a suspension. But, like, the PFF grades, and I don't live and die by PFF, y'all know that. 78.4 overall grade, 18th amongst all offensive tackles. The pass blocking grade at a 79.2 was ranked 27th. The 75 run block rating was 19th. It's been interesting, man. I'm not sure, though, whether or not, like, he is a long-term solution at the position, but he's definitely, like, one of those guys. It's like bringing in Nick Allegretti at left tackle is basically how I would describe the move. But I think from day one he could walk in and be your right tackle because I continue to believe that, like, Andrew Wiley coming back is not a guarantee at all. But Alaric Jackson out of the LA Rams is somebody I'd definitely be interested in. Will Fries from the Indianapolis Colts, a guard that I would 100% be in on bringing in. Another guy that could come in here and is young enough, right, to where he could be a part of your core moving forward. Former seventh-round pick of the Colts, 26 years old. Somebody that can come in here at 6'6", 305, and fill in at guard right away. And then he's young enough, like I keep saying, to where he could be a long-term fit here for you. See, with free agency, it's about plugging holes. But wouldn't you love to plug a hole for 4 and 5 years at a time? See, last year we saw all of these one-year deals. How many multi-year contracts were handed out last year via the Commanders in free agency? Austin Ekeler got 2 years. Frankie Louvu got multiple years. Dorrance Armstrong got multiple years. Tyler Biadasz got multiple years. Nick Allegretti got multiple years. Outside of that, I know I just listed all five guys. Outside of that, how many long-term deals did they give out? Not a lot. So that's what I'm looking to do this offseason in free agency is attack and target guys that I know could be here for multiple years at a time. And Will Fries at guard, I think, is somebody that can come in here and really help you out right away. Right away. The thing about Fries, and like I say, what did I say to start the show? What have I said about free agency? They're free for a reason, right? Will Fries only played 5 games last year, broken right tibia. But before he got hurt, posted a career best in both pass block win rate and run block win rate. So he is somebody that I think could come in here and help you from day one to be a starter for you. And here's the other thing I would say, and I think you all should realize this based off the way last year's free agency went. Not every free agent that you sign is going to be a starter. You got to sign depth pieces. You got to sign backups. And you saw that. They signed a considerable amount of backups last year in free agency. No Igbinoghene, somebody that was signed as a backup. Was brought in here and played really well for you. As a backup, Michael Walker at linebacker, somebody that came in here and that was a backup that really helped you out a ton. Let's just be real, right? Dante Fowler Jr. and Cleveland Farrell, neither were like every down starters, but they were depth and rotational pieces. That's the other thing you got to keep into consideration here when you're talking about free agency for the Commanders. Joe is in Arlington. Let's tap in. What's up, Joe?
So I think that really looking at everything, you got to go defense. But also, like, left tackle is a huge hole, I think. I think Coleman's good, but I think they're going to do the same thing they did with Cosme and move him to guard. So, like, Ronnie Stanley from Baltimore, I think would be a nice depth, like a nice piece.
But the thing about Stanley, he's missed so many games over the duration of his career. This is the first year in, like, 5 years he's been healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you got to draft somebody to tackle too, but I think that he's a good, like, our best free agents this year were all veteran pieces, like,
yes,
Bobby Wagner,
100%.
Ertz. So, like, he can kind of add that to you on the offensive line, but, like, I'll stay on this. Like, getting Miles Garrett, and he's not a free agent, but he's the number one free agency target.
I would love
You go after him, that's it. Like, whatever they want, get blank check, give it to him. But getting another corner besides Lattimore and Sanders still would be huge. But
yes.
Yeah, building up the trenches and plugging the holes, like you said. But I think that this draft class, too, is a lot of interior linemen, not necessarily tackles. You can have Stanley fill a hole for 1 or 2 years until you get that guy that you fall in love with.
For sure.
And
here's the thing, though, too, Joe.
Play guard.
Here's the thing, though, too, Joe, and I appreciate your call. You segued us perfectly because I wanted to get into this. It feels like everyone's given up on Brandon Coleman at left guard. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll rattle off some more free agent targets. Plus, I will tell you who ESPN listed as the best free agent fit for the Commanders this offseason. That's next here on The Fan. Hokies basketball coming your way in about 10 minutes or so. Right now, I will continue to run through my top free agent targets for the Washington Commanders, and I'll tell you who ESPN listed as their best free agent fits for the Burgundy and Gold. So the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 8:30. Hokies basketball coming up after myself. Programming note, I am back with you tomorrow, 6:30 to 10, right here on The Fan. We'll discuss a lot of what we talked about today in regards to the Washington Commanders. Offseason, we'll also start to talk a little bit of round ball as the Wizards are going to be coming out of the All-Star break. They host Milwaukee coming up Friday night. And we'll take a look ahead and talk to some of our Wizards insiders in terms of what they are expecting to see out of the D.C. family here in the second half of the season. Also, I want to talk a little bit more about the Washington Nationals. Touched on them a little bit at the top of the show, but probably one of the most important spring trainings in a long time coming up for this group in terms of how many big-time questions they're going to have answered, including who is the opening day starter. Still waiting the word on that. Nats open up the Grapefruit League coming up Saturday. You hear that right here on The Fan. I gave you a couple of free agent targets up front along the offensive line. Trey Smith, the offensive guard from Kansas City, to me is one of those dudes, man. 6'6", 315, displaces people at the point of attack in the run game. He is a people mover. I love Trey Smith. And guess what? He's got championship pedigree. So love that about Trey Smith as well. Alaric Jackson, the offensive tackle from the L.A. Rams, is somebody I would definitely take a flyer on. Was suspended the first two games of this year, but really played well once he was in the starting lineup. Will Fries only played five games this past year, but when he was healthy, career year in terms of pass block win rate, run block win rate, so big fan of his. And he's another guy, former seventh-round pick, that at the age of 26 could be a foundational building block for you moving forward. We keep talking about how likely it is that they could replicate last year's offseason, and I want to go back to the multi-year deals that they gave out. Luvu, Armstrong, Biadasz, Eckler. Like, you're going to have to hit. There are going to be a bunch of one-year deals this time around, too. I think they're going to take some gambles on guys. But I do expect more of the 3- and 4- and 2- and 3-year deals to be signed as they try to identify who the core is. But it's going to be interesting because I feel like the priorities of this front office, I want to believe that their priorities will be on point, so to speak. Like, I want to believe that their priorities will be responsible. But you never know, man. You never know. They've surprised me before, or they surprised me last offseason, I guess, at what they were able to do from a player acquisition standpoint. So I'm not sure, man, how they ultimately choose to address the bevy of holes they have throughout the roster. But like I said last year, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. Point blank. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. And we should be. Adam Peters and company have earned the right to be at that spot. And I want to give you all something on Chris Godwin. This is Greg Allman, who covers the Tampa Bay Bucks for Fox Sports. Covers the NFL, rather, for Fox Sports. He's covered the Bucks for The Athletic since 2013. He tweeted this out. This was 1 minute ago. Chris Godwin's current contract was due to void, triggering $18 million in dead money against the Bucks' 2025 cap, but the two sides have agreed to move the void date to the final day of the league year, March the 12th, buying them some time to work out a new deal, and it helps Tampa Bay save against the cap. I would be all in on Chris Godwin, man. And I know the injury history for people is spotty. It's what people worry about. Last year, I think it was a torn ACL and a hurt ankle. Like, he had a rough year last year from an injury standpoint. But before that, three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. He blocks his tail off in the run game. A competitor. Like, I think he would fit perfectly here with Washington. You know, the big question is whether or not he actually becomes a free agent based on the reporting of Greg Allman. But I wanted to quickly, before we get out of here, let you know who ESPN listed as their best free agent targets for the Washington Commanders. No surprise. Their best free agent target that ESPN said for the Commanders was T. Higgins on offense. And T. Higgins, as we know, probably not going to be a Commander, probably going to get franchise tagged between now and March the 4th. And then on defense, they listed former Philadelphia Eagle and former New York Jet Hassan Reddick as someone that Washington should bring in. I'm probably out on both of those guys. Hassan Reddick, to me, is more of a situational pass rusher, not a guy that sets a strong edge in the run game. So, it's tough. Big thank you to our producer, Vic Ferreira. Thank you for your calls. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It is at NELL_BTP. Hokies basketball coming your way next.